When they're not covering the sports world, they're talking about the world of professional wrestling.
It's Sports Guys Talking Wrestling.
Now, from Austin, Texas, with Justin Simmons, here's Stu Myron.
There is a documentary being produced, and we're glad to bring on Ray Zombie to talk about wrestling with independence. So, Ray, man, how are you, bud? Let me make sure that's on. Yeah, I think you're up.
It's all good.
How are you, bud?
I'm good. I'm tired.
I bet you are. And so how much shooting did you do today?
Today, it's not anything for wrestling with independence. That's kind of been the thing that I just said, hey, I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I threw all my money into it.
Right.
And that's just something I've been making. Today was just other stuff, just other
okay.
work.
You got other projects. You're a filmmaker. You do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you this. Let's start with your background in filmmaking. Where did you study?
What
come
got
up?
You into this?
Yeah. What was the desire?
I studied at the University of North Texas. I studied history.
Oh, they have a good school there, actually.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. It's good music school. Yeah. I liked it. I went
good
there
broadcasting
for,
school.
Yeah. I went there for like, I think 2 years, because I did community college. And I went to that. I did film school for a semester and I hated it. And then I just decided that's not what I want to do. That's not what I want to study. So I had to go to. But my mom's like, "Yo, like, stop being a Mexican. You have to go to college. You have to graduate." And I said, "You know what, Mom? Like, you're right. Like, I have to." So I did, and I got my degree just sitting on the wall, just hanging out there. But I've always been interested in movies and film. That's something I've always done. Like when I was a kid, I had that big old like VHS like camcorder thing stuck like.
Oh
the,
God, yes.
Yeah, you stuck the VHS in there, just kind of recorded, and I got my stuffed animals, and I was just like,
like the one in Back to the Future.
Yeah, like that one. Yeah, and I'm 25. I'm not that old.
But you've seen Back to the Future.
Yeah, I've seen Back to the Future. Yeah.
It just resonates.
It was in the 90s. The whatever camera that was, I would put my little stuffed animals up, and I'd make like little movies off of that. And I don't know. It just started like, it was just always something I always did. I always had a camera in my hand. Thinking about it now, like I've always had a camera in my hand. I've always done something. When I graduated from UNT, my mom's like, "Yo, like, congratulations."
Did your mom really say "yo"?
No,
I'm just joking.
I mean, you know, in Spanish.
Cool if she did though.
I'm not knocking her. If she
I mean,
did.
She says "yo" in Spanish to signify "I."
It's true.
But my mom was like, "Yo, you should go to Japan now." And I was like, "Really? Like, Mom? Like, are you sure?" And she's like, "Yeah, man. Like, you graduated, so that's your prize. Like, you know, you're the first kid to graduate in the United States, so go." And I was like, "Thanks, Mom." And I took my cameras with me, and it was just like some little shitty camera from like 2006.
But now, not to sound stereotypical, but this is a fact, though. Japanese culture, they love their cameras, they love their electronics. Did you get to choose?
Oh yeah. Like when I got there, like it was every like we think we're on our phones a lot. Like Japanese people, they're like they live on that thing, man. And they're flip phones, and they have little dangly things on them too, charms. But I went there, I took my camera, and while I was there, like the second day I was there, I was like, man, I should probably visit wrestling stuff because I've always loved wrestling.
Okay, and, like, so is that where maybe some of this inspiration for this project came about?
Yeah, because I made a documentary, pseudo little like. It was so spur of the moment. Like I visited Ribera. I visited.
Oh, that's so cool!
I visited the Tokyo Dome. While I was, I was looking up at a bar here in the United States. I was looking at a bar that's in, it's in Japan. It's in Shinjuku, the Shinjuku district, which is like the red light district. And it took me like a day to find out where it is because it's like it's the hardest thing to find anything in Japan. Like everything's an elevator, and there's no signs that are in English like that you can read. Found a bar called Dropkick Bar that is run by the guys that run DDT.
Oh yeah, I've heard of that.
Yeah, so I found the place. I found the place first at like 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And I was like, oh cool, like here it is. And like I went inside the elevator and I pushed like whatever button it was to get up there. But then like a Japanese voice started yelling at me. and I couldn't go up, so I just got off.
Now, for our listeners out there, I want you to check out. This is really cool because it actually shows you the bar that you're talking about. It's on YouTube. You can look it up. If you look up Japanology, it's from the NHK network. Ooh. It's in English with Japanese interviews and English subtitle. But if you look up the pro wrestling edition that they do, it's about 20 minutes.
Yeah.
They show you that bar that you're talking about.
Right. I think I have that channel.
I went into that bar. I shot there.
That is so cool.
I went there later that night. Finally, the elevator let me go up, and I was like, cool, let me walk in. And in the movies, you walk the person walks into the room, it's like a record scratch. And Aaron was just like,
yeah,
who's this guy? Well, I walked into the room and it's this dark, I don't know, it's probably as big as the living room the bar is. And I walked in, everybody's just like, whoa, he's got a beard. And they're just like, who is this guy?
They thought you were one of the wrestlers, probably.
Oh, I don't know, man. Well, I mean, some women did. And I walk in there, I'm like, hey, guys, I like wrestling. And they're like, okay, cool. And I started talking to everybody who works there is part of the DDT promotion. And that's where I met Ryu and Akito and a bunch of other wrestlers. And we got along and I interviewed them. I got some footage with them, some footage of the bar.
Mm-hmm.
They later on invited me to DDT. They got me really fucking drunk that night too. Just it got to a point where they were just throwing whiskey at me. And at the end they're like, okay, Ray, I'm like, yo, I got I'm good, man. He's like, cool, man. And then he's like, are you hungry? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, well, there's no food here. It was really broken English and really broken Japanese talking to each other. And I was just like, so what food do you have? And he's like, well, I mean, we have rice. and I'm just like, dude, it's okay, man. I'm Japanese. And the whole bar just started laughing. And that's when they accepted me as one of them.
Let me ask you this really quick, man. I hate to backtrack, but okay. So you mentioned somewhere in there, fan of pro wrestling. So you obviously loved the sport for a while. But this fascination with Japan, did those go two and two automatically when you got there? You're like, oh, Puro-res, Japan, wrestling, let's get there. Or what was the whole reason for going to Japan besides graduation?
I just wanted to, my ultimate dream from...
Because I'm really into Japan myself for no real reason.
Yeah, when I was 16, I was I really want to walk the streets where if I could look to my right, I can see Godzilla. And if I look to my left, I can see hentai.
Oh, okay.
I just wanted that so much. I don't know why. It's just that's so bizarre.
I really liked video games growing up, and I was that boom of the Nintendo child. So I loved what they were giving us. It was Mario's great.
I got to admit, Japan.
There. That's right.
I got to go there when I was in the Army and had a great time. The people were nice. And, plus you go to a bar and you drink all you can drink Sapporo beer for. 2,000 yen, for the night.
That's crazy. It's insane.
See, now fantastic. It's two out of the three people at this table I've been to Japan, and I have not.
Well, I mean,
I was hoping pro wrestling will get me there someday.
It will. It might.
You never know.
I hope pro wrestling will get me back there someday.
That was nice. They were really cool. They invited me to DDT afterwards, and I shot a little bit there just to, the interactions, because, fans there are really super respectful to wrestlers. And I ended up making just a video of, I forgot what it's called in Japanese, pro wrestle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just that it's a documentary, quote unquote documentary, on Japanese wrestling. And then I got back home, I made that video, and it's okay, that was really fun. How do I turn that into something? What do I do? And I was living in Dallas with my mom, and I just wanted to move to Austin because Austin is not California, but it presents the same opportunities. There's a lot of
people moving from California.
There's a lot of moving. So there's a lot of California. There's
kind of a creative spirit.
Yeah. So. No, you walk here and it's just art. Whether it's film or photography or actual art, painting.
Exactly.
Anything like that.
But not throw shade at Austin. But before, it was a very artistic town before.
It was.
I didn't want people to get the wrong idea.
It was so artistic.
People hate on me.
It created opportunity. And
the home of Tarantino.
Yeah,
the home of Rodriguez.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. And I've been to that. I've been to that lot. And so I just
Even I've worked out of the Channel Austin building.
I sent Max and Biss an email because for some reason in my mind I was like I could probably shoot pro wrestling that could be a thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
I could make that happen. So I sent them an email and then I sent them to the documentary of Japan. They're like, yo, we really like this. We totally have you on and shoot stuff if you like. And I was like, cool, that's my invitation to Austin.
Yeah.
Because I was already planning on moving here.
But then give you the reason.
Yeah, but then they're like, okay, cool, we'll give you an opportunity. And it's like, oh, sweet, there you go. And that's how I fell into the actual business of pro wrestling.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Talk with Ray Zombie. He is the director and the creator of Wrestling with Independence. So you get started with Inspire Pro,
mm-hmm.
and you're shooting their shows. Now, when was this?
That was, what year is it, 2017? So, 2015.
Okay.
Right? August of 2015 or Good 2016. Lord. One of those two.
Wow.
Whatever a year and a half ago was.
Okay.
A long time.
So, yeah.
At this
okay.
juncture.
So, when did you get the idea to do this documentary? What was it born out of? I mean, I assume it was born out doing the Inspire Pro, but did you also start exploring other companies like ACW or TCW?
Yeah, I had the idea of a documentary last year, December. It was like there was a lull period in between shows for Inspire Pro. I was working at Best Buy at the time. I was getting, I was trying to get my foot in the door of somewhere, anywhere, just mm-hmm. to say like, hey, like, please allow me to do this thing. And in December of whatever year that was, whatever year and a half ago was, I wanted to do a documentary of Inspire Pro and be like, I like Inspire Pro, and I wanna try and expand my wings and make something out of it.
Yeah.
At the time, I was lacking in expertise. I was lacking in knowledge, a lot of stuff, but the idea fermented there. In March of last year, I had the opportunity to shoot some South by Southwest stuff with Lucha Underground, and so I was at Best Buy still, and I was like, "Yo, Best Buy, like, I need the week of South by off, please." And they're like, "No,
of course not."
Yeah, you know, understandable. So then at that point, like, that it hit me. I was like, "Man, like, I can either like quit this job that's giving me some amount of money and some stability, or just jump out and." Mm-hmm. Try and pick up a camera and try and do something with wrestling.
Yeah.
And with Lucha Underground. Excuse me. And pretty much, like, I quit. And then, like, the next day, Chris True from the New Movement, awesome dude, good friend of mine now,
mm-hmm.
He was doing a podcast, and we did a show the night before of Inspire Pro. And he's like, "Yo, Ray, are you available tomorrow for a shoot, so you can shoot a podcast with me and Mundo, Johnny Mundo?" And then I was like, "Yeah, I am free." Like, I do have time for this. And that's where I met Johnny Mundo, and I shot a little thing there, and it didn't pay, and it wasn't anything crazy, but it was just me being available and me having a camera.
Yeah.
And then from that, I met Johnny Mundo, who's kind of the inspiration of Wrestling with Independence. So, yeah, like, that's – I had the idea for Wrestling with Independence a year ago. I started full-time on this job of making movies, making film, working in this industry, whether it's wrestling or film or whatever. Had it right when South by of last year happened. And then over the past year, I've been working for production companies. I worked for Rooster Teeth for a little bit. I've done corporate gigs and stuff.
Okay.
I've been getting better at what I'm doing.
That's cool. We know a few people at Rooster Teeth.
Yeah. Do you?
Nick Schwartz, Tyler Coe.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Former Horn Brethren of ours.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mike Pirtle's now over there.
Yeah.
Best radio engineer in the city, at least.
Right. Yeah, no, everybody at Rooster Teeth. Rooster Teeth is awesome. They feed you every day.
I've heard great things. Nick has especially told me about some of the fun stuff you got that they do there.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
I've been like an extra on a Rooster Teeth like episode or something. But I was like, yeah, they did feed us. They took real good care of us.
Yeah.
And the lot looks really nice.
Yeah, I was there today, and I just got to eat. Like, it was great.
Never complain about it.
Well, next time you're over there, tell Nick and Tyler, Stu says hi.
Okay, there you go.
Let me ask you real quick. With this documentary, Wrestling with Independence, what is it that you're trying to convey?
I am trying... I can make a documentary over anything.
Of course.
I could be so in love with chefs and them making food. I'd want to tell people their story. But it turns out that I'm in the wrestling world. And the more I've been in it, the more I've realized that I'm in the same like time frame as most of these guys. Terrell Tempo. He's the second person I interviewed for this movie. And we were sitting down and we were having a conversation doing the interview. And he's the same age as I am. I'm 25. I'm about to be 26 in like 2 weeks. It's horrible.
Getting okay, old. You can just stop now.
That's because Stu's laughing at you. I'm not that much older, and I was going to laugh at you too.
I have gray hair, man. I was sitting down with him, and he was just telling me stories about his struggles and everything that was going on. And you know, we're filming it and getting everything. And as that was happening, I realized, like, man, like I have the exact same struggles.
Mm-hmm. See, that's interesting you say that, man, because that's how I feel about every pro wrestler that I ever see most of the time.
Yeah.
Is that like, oh, you know, I've been one. I know how difficult it is to get to a certain, like, to get to a good level to where mm-hmm. you're really good. And that's difficult because I never made it that far.
Right.
But then as I got into the broadcasting game, it was kind of like, well, yeah, you got to start at the bottom and you work your way up.
Yeah. And there's parallels to radio.
Yeah.
It's, you know, Justin and I can both attest to paying your dues, you mm-hmm. know, doing the, you know, the silly little jobs like, you know, unloading a van or whatever.
No, but I've done it twice now.
And you know, you just work your way up.
Oh, man.
No, but like...
But I'm glad that you said that. Because it's like, yeah, you know, maybe sometimes I think a lot of people don't see that part of professional wrestling. They just see the people that are on television and they just see characters. But I'm like, no, you don't. If you think about those people's struggles, it's so enamoring.
So that's what I was hoping to get in walking in here and doing it. But sitting down with Tempo and just listening to a story, and we were just having a normal that was a friendship day. Like mm-hmm. we built a friendship. I have a few
out of Legos. I'm just playing.
I have a few crew members, volunteer dudes that want to also do something with their lives in film, and they've been helping me out a little bit on this. And one of them was able to come with me to San Antonio to go visit Tempo at his home. And just, you know, we talked for about 2 hours. And, like, it was just really, like deep stuff. Like, deep, this is what I wanted for him. It was, like, this is what I want to do. And, like, these are examples of what I go through in terms of just a struggle. Like, we both related. I hate asking for money and, like, doing freelance film stuff, like you don't really know when your next paycheck is. You just hope it's like soon so you can pay your rent.
Yeah.
Or on time.
Or
Jeez.
On time, yeah. And
you know the struggle is real, man.
And I have the struggle of just sometimes I have to ask my mom sometimes, like, mom, like I feel horrible asking, but like could I get money for the rent this month? Like, because I can't cover it. And I hate that. Like, I hate that so much. And I learned that from Tempo. He's done that too. And I'm just like, man, like, I feel you, man. Like,
yeah.
Like, that touches me, you know? Just talking to the guy. At the end of the night, like, everything was done. And I was like, cool, man. Like, I appreciate it. And he's like, you guys hungry? And I was like, yeah. And we all went to IHOP. We just hung out. We just ate. And that was what I was hoping I was going to walk into, was getting that kind of story from a human. And it just mm-hmm. so happens that their life, you know, their goals, their aspirations, their passion revolves around the sport, the weird sport of pro wrestling.
Yeah.
So that's what this movie is gonna be about. It's gonna be about the human aspect. You know, it's not a wrestling documentary. It's a movie about people's lives and
the fact that they just happen to be involved. Yeah. In pro wrestling.
Yeah, and I've been around it enough, and I've met enough people where I've heard enough stories. And I was like, man, I really want to share this. Like, I feel they all have something to say. The last Aspire Pro show, Palmer and Steve-O had this huge hardcore match.
Oh, yeah.
Where they tore apart the ring and everything. And
yeah.
Afterwards, like, I was at Palmer. Like, he had a pretty nasty cut in the side of his mm-hmm. head. It was about an inch wide. It was slightly deep, and we had like a real heart to heart in the training room while he was getting stitched up, and I just so happened to have my camera with me, and it's completely in the movie. It's like a 6 minute long scene of Matt Palmer just like laying it out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, man, like
you caught the rawness.
Yeah,
You know, and that's
cool.
And that's been, you know, it's something that we've gotten to, you know, experience doing the podcast is learning about these people, learning about these stars, and learning about how, you know, they're men and women trying to reach a goal, trying to live a dream. They got families, they got commitments, mm-hmm. and they're wanting to fulfill those while living the dream of being in pro wrestling. And it's, I mean, it's funny. When I was in Orlando, mm-hmm. Actually went to Lakeland, went to the Ring of Honor show.
I couldn't tell by that shirt of yours.
Yeah, well, you know. Well, and the funny thing was, you know, probably the most telling answer I got was from the Young Bucks, talking about when they do the Being the Elite videos on YouTube. Mm-hmm. It not only shows, you know, them being wrestlers, but also shows them being husbands and fathers.
Yeah.
And, you know, going home and seeing their kids and taking their kids to Disney World and
right.
taking their families to Japan. And it's one of those things where, you know, like what you're doing with this film, it gives the viewer a glimpse into a side of that person that they may not ever see.
Yeah.
And we, you know, there are times we often forget. I mean, we've got 205 Live on right now. And you look at, you know, Alicia Fox and Rich Swann, and realizing, you know, Rich Swann went homeless for a long time trying to reach his dream. And
right.
talking about TJ Perkins living in his car and stuff like that. You know, people often forget about that. And it's neat to see what you're doing with this film.
Something that I don't like about like with WWE, they'll play up the stories and say like that, you know, this guy struggled, and then they'll pass on and say, but now he's like here. But like what I want to get into is like, what was that like? Like you, like if I could have Swan and sit down with him and be like, dude, like what was that like, man?
Because yeah.
that's like. It's like my go-to question at the end of every of these interviews is one that's got me a lot of good answers. It's just like, are you happy? Like, are you happy with you right now? And like people like stop and they're like, like that's Ray. What are you doing? Like, I'm just like, no, please tell me.
But I think if you ask that question to mostly anybody, that's a great question because most people, I mean, we're conditioned to say like, yeah, everything's going great. But when you really stop and think about it, it's kind of like, well, is your job okay? Are you making
you
enough
consider
money?
A lot, yeah.
Are you happy where you're at exactly in your job or
right.
your profession in life?
Well, and
lots
a lot of
questions there.
And a lot of people will think of it as, you know, happy being satisfied. Happiness equals satisfaction.
Right.
Yeah.
Like and there's a huge difference.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's cool, like you're wearing the Too Sweet or Delete shirt, like at the Wrestle Circus show. I actually got to like meet Matt Hardy and he's in the movie.
Yeah.
And it's weird because like he's like at the very beginning of the shoot's like, oh, I do everything in gimmick. And I was like, in my mind, I was like, I don't want that because like, you know, it's, you know, I want him to be wrestling. But I mean, it's Matt Hardy. It's like, I have like limited amount of time.
Can I make a few concessions?
So
right?
It's like, okay, let's go. Let's do it. And, we're doing an interview and stuff. And like halfway through it, he just like stops being broken and just becomes like Matt Hardy.
Yeah.
Well, let me just ask though, isn't that kind of part of the gimmick?
I don't know. Cause he was going full on. Like,
I'm just joking. It's like, it's very meta. You know
it's meta. Yeah. But like you could tell, man, like it's weird. Like I'm
did
watching.
Did you just see it? Like his like,
yeah, no,
switch
like,
just flip off.
His demeanor just like goes, he's giving me a broken, like a yeah. yas type stuff. Yeah. And then like he stops and goes, but let me tell you the real answer. It's like blah, 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 yeah. blah. And I was like, oh,
that's
like,
crazy.
Is, yeah. And
gets
I was like,
deep.
Ooh.
Nice.
And, it's just for them. Cause, For like Hardy, it's questions that are more geared to like, you know, like what does it mean to you to come back to wrestling, to like to continue wrestling, you know, going from a WrestleMania, because I saw that guy at WrestleMania 25. Like I was a guy in the stands.
Yeah.
And then however many years later, I'm now next to him and we're at an indie show. And I was like, hey, man, like how is this? How is this? What does this mean for you? Like how are you living your life and stuff like
well,
that?
Well, and who was to know what was going to happen 2 weeks later?
Right. Yeah. And then, literally two you weeks know. Later, he shows up at WrestleMania. I'm like,
I mean,
oh,
heck, at this show, you know, I still didn't know for sure.
Yeah.
You know, I
you
was
saw
able
to wrestle
and I saw, I,
Twice.
I got to talk to him. Right. I talked to he and Jeff both.
Well, you already gave him a ride in the car.
Yeah, he was in the car. But, you know, to see him there. And even then, it was kind of like, I don't know if they're going to go.
Right.
And even in when they, you know, when they lost the belts and they did the speech, I was like, wow, this could actually happen.
Right.
But you're right, to see that side of him.
Yeah,
for the longest time he would not get out of gimmick.
Yeah, it was honestly like that was a shock, man, because he was gimmicking and it just stops. I was like, oh man, like this is real. Like this is really actually real.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I gotta give props to Houston Carson, who is now retired. He was my he's my lookout. He was giving me because I wasn't nervous to meet Matt Hardy, but it's always really weird to like talk to a wrestler like either before or after a match. Because before a match, everybody's like getting ready, getting prepped, doing their stuff, and then after the match, they're decompressing and then talking about it and going through it. There's like a slight window that I want to like hit where it's not disrespectful, and
right.
Like, you know, I'm trying to because I go up to a dude with a camera like, hey, like I got this camera, do a video for me. It's like, no, man, like I don't want to be that guy. I want to be cool. And then Carson was like, he was my lookout. He's like, okay, they're probably talking about this. Okay, they're probably about talking about this. Oh, okay, he's open. Go now. I was like, thanks, Carson.
Yeah. that's the thing. You know, guys like him, guys like Jack Stane, where, you know, we've learned so much. And we're the same way. Like, when I'm at backstage, mm-hmm. and I've got this recorder in my hand, I don't want to just, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to be respectful.
Yeah.
Like you said, be respectful of their time.
Yeah.
And it's – and I think as, you know, as we go along, they realize, yes, we're not just trying to do this for our own glory.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Let me ask you this. Who surprised you the most? Who has surprised you the most so far interviewing them with, you know, their story or maybe an answer to a question you asked them?
Interview-wise, I'm trying to think back. I've done a few. I'm not like I'll go back to Tempo saying surprise because I'm like, oh man, like they're struggling the same way I'm struggling. But they all have that.
Mm-hmm.
Like everybody, I've talked to wrestlers and promoters and referees and stuff, and everybody struggled. Everybody's still struggling. Everybody's, you know, everybody in this world, we're all trying to make it.
Yeah.
That I kind of knew that was gonna happen. But it's weird when I hear it from someone who goes out and, like, you know, 200 people are cheering their name and clapping them on and stuff. And then they go back to the curtain. It's like, you know, it's not like fairy tale land. It's not happiness forever. It's like, here's my real life. So that was weird.
Yeah.
But out of interviews, the person that surprised me most was Mundo. Because he, again, dude, like John Morrison, WWE, like I saw him when I was a kid. And then we started talking, and he's the nicest dude. Before I was like, I was trying to like formulate the interviews and trying to get my ducks in a row before I started actually going out to shoot. And I sent 35 emails to 35 people about the show, or not the show, the movie. And Mundo like immediately responded back. He's like, dude, like I love the idea. I would totally be down to do it. And I was like, oh. Like this, if this guy is like he's cool with it and he likes it, like I guess that means that we can do it.
You got some,
yeah. And then I actually ended up interviewing him a little bit. I'm hoping to get a longer, more sit down type of interview with him. But yeah, he's been awesome. He's taken me, unfortunately, he's taken me backstage at Lucha Underground stuff because I don't want to see people without the masks because they're still real to me.
I was joking with Justin. When did I go to that VIP show? It was like late summer last year.
Mm-hmm.
I show up early, and I watch Pentagon Jr. putting his. And I'm like, I don't know that I'm supposed to be seeing this.
Yeah, I don't like it.
it's like, hold it, this is not right. You know, But it's kind of one of those, you can't look away either. So,
man, see, I'm like really torn because it's like when you're a wrestler, it's like, wow, that's like the brothership you have. So it's like you have that trust that you can actually see that person without their mask. But as a guy that just covers the wrestling now, I'm just like, man, I don't want to see you without your mask.
It's not like I'm not up there taking pictures of it.
Right.
And I wasn't even going to.
I would never do that. Anyways, I'm just saying, being there watching it, it's all like, I mean, I shouldn't watch it.
As simple as when Leva Bates does her cosplay.
Yeah.
The last two times I've always been able to catch her right before she comes to the curtain. So we'll get a quick selfie. But I won't post it until like after.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
So, you know. I got to see Sister Nero before everybody else did.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, she's been really cool.
Contacts too.
Because, before when she was in Sister
Nero, I
couldn't
look at her in her eyes.
I was like, hey. And she's like, hey. And I was like, you're Jeff Hardy. And she's like, I know. And I was like, all right, good luck. He's like, thanks. It's weird stuff like that. I guess, like you said, it's like they're trusting you enough.
That's been the thing we've discovered.
Yeah.
Is they're letting us. I mean, Justin's used to it. Because, like I said, you trained with some of these guys.
Yeah. I mean,
but for me, I mean, it's kind of like, okay, I'm still that 12-year-old kid watching Mid-South Wrestling.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, here I am talking to, I'm holding the NWA belt. I'm talking to Tully Blanchard. I don't know what to think about this. And I got to imagine that there are times, I mean, and let me ask you, has there been one that you've, like, just been starstruck with?
No. Yeah. The last people I've ever been starstruck with are Kiss. And that was in 2008.
Okay.
And Gene Simmons hugged me, pulled my hair, and said, just like mine. And I was like, oh, God.
You weren't going to wash your hair.
I was like, that is just like yours.
I don't know how I would handle that.
I met him again in 2012. And I said, Gene, last time I met you, I was too starstruck to say anything. And he looks at me, he's like, that is everybody. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm everybody. I'm never going to be everybody again.
There you go.
So so credit to Gene Simmons, who I love, because I have tattoos of Kiss and everything. I love Kiss so much.
Absolutely.
Best Kiss album.
I was going to say, I see him on your arm.
Yeah. I think Hotter Than Hell. okay. I love Hot in the Shade because it's got Forever, and that's my favorite song by Kiss. But I hate Hot in the Shade album.
Okay. See, there's nothing wrong with that, though.
That's the last time I got starstruck was with Kiss. And
okay.
I think Matt Hardy's the closest I've been to. It was more out of like, it was almost like an intimidation of like, because I've gotten through the point where if people say no to me, I don't care. But with Matt Hardy, it's just like, man, like, what if he says
that's
no?
It's like one of the most, for people that are listening out there, anything that you do, that's probably one of the most valuable assets that you could ever occur, is learning to just deal with no.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I went on a binge when I was 18. I was like, I need to be comfortable with women. So I went to the mall and I told a lot of girls that they were pretty and if I could have the number, and everybody said no. By the end of it, I was like ironclad. Just
ironclad.
I was like, nothing is ever going to hurt me again.
Not even FaZe. Wow.
Ray Zombie.
That's your
talking to us.
I love it.
I like it. Talking to us about wrestling with independence. Your Indiegogo campaign so far, you've already raised, in fact, I'm looking at it right now. As of this moment, $1,384 out of your goal is $10,000.
You've got
goals on the way to that.
Yeah.
Like you mentioned, the first goal I think is $4,000.
Yes.
To pay off the debts and stuff or the expenses.
I wouldn't want to say debts. I'd say
expenses.
Expenses of what we've done so far. Like if the movie was to actually have a budget right now, it'd be $4,000.
Okay.
And yeah, man.
And this is in what, 2 days?
Three days.
That's not bad.
1,300 something.
That means that people want to see this project. I mean, doing things like this interview, which again, we appreciate you coming on, will also hopefully help you along the way. Because I mean, now I'm interested to see, because it's like, well, not only do I know Terrell, I know some of the other guys that you've interviewed, but it's like, I might not know him on that level, or I might never have a chance to talk to him because that moment just never, you know, introduces itself after a show or before a show
And we're always at the same shows too.
Right. Right. So. Yeah. I haven't seen a show in so long, and I edit them. it's in tears. It's crazy to me. When I started the Indie, I've been doing the Indiegogo, like the page and the ideas and the marketing strategies, all that good stuff. I've been doing that for about a month now. Mm-hmm. And then I launched it Monday morning. And my initial thought is, man, like, no one's going to like it. Because it's so weird.
We're all like that. I get you.
It's weird to put a project out there and just say, hey, like, judge it.
Well, it's a very emotional moment, because it's like, here's my soul.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm trying to present to you. And I think it's a great idea. And I'm very passionate. I'm speaking, like, I guess, in the third person but like in generality. So, like, I'm very passionate about said project. I hope everybody else feels the same way. Or who's going to feel the same way? Or who's going to think it's silly?
I think I haven't had much negativity. I've had one guy be like, oh, you just want money for free shows. I'm like, dude, I'm going to the shows and already.
Like, I was like, I don't pay for shows already as it is.
Yeah.
But if you want to pay for my lunch, that's cool.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, it's insane that it's garnered that much in this amount of time. I think that's good. I think 14% is what it is right now of 10,000. 10,000 being the lucrative, crazy, like, end goal of end goals. It is in tears. 4,000 to pay for the budget that it is now. And this includes, like, the camera, the audio, the lighting, because it's not a point at you DSLR go video. It's a production.
I've seen it. Like I said, we were at the last Inspire show. No, I was doing commentary and I was watching you do that.
It's legit.
Yeah, like, you put a lot of time and effort into this project. Like, and not only in actually going out to get the interviews, but in, like, the other strands of it. So, like, the editing.
Yeah. And
which, my God, I don't want to sit there.
Editing is horrible.
Oh yes,
it's hard enough to edit this stuff. Believe me, I can't imagine.
Yeah.
No, but
And I see the tiers. So you got 4,000. You got 7,500. Where basically you'd say afford post-production, go to more events in Texas, more content.
Because 4,000 is paying the budget now, and then it'll give me leeway to be able to continue going to more shows and get more footage instead of, like, working somewhere else to get money. The 7,500 is to afford post-production. At that point, pretty much, like, I get to guarantee 100% of my time to this project, to more shoots, to more edits, to just like completely having it edited by me and by other people, because it's not just going to be me. That's
a lifetime to finish if it was.
I mean, there's a lot that goes into editing. I mean, just coloring it, which coloring sounds weird, but the color grading takes a long time. The sound mixing, as you know, doing this, takes a long time.
Since I surprisingly studied a couple of years in college, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, all that takes a long time. I think it's weird. It's weird about movies. It's weird about documentaries. Like, it's not pick up and shoot. It's straight up. Like, we have a lot of production value going into it. Another good reason why it took a year of thinking and thought of actually putting this together and doing it was because I had to accumulate the money and the funds to buy certain things. And most of those things are in credit cards right now. These being cameras and the sound, a couple lenses. Like, lenses, man, I don't know. No one ever told me when I wanted to be a filmmaker that a lens is going to cost me more than the body of a camera.
Man, just the tripod alone, if you want a good one, it's going to...
The tripod I have is low tier, and it costs me $200.
And I'm just happy with my little $40 point and shoot one that
but
I
it's
use.
It's that, and the 7,500 will completely do all of post production. And then the 10,000 is the hopefully get there, because I have a few connections to Chikara where I can go fly over there and meet the people that run it and some of the wrestlers and stuff, you know, bigger name people. Mm-hmm. And then possibly go to LA and do some stuff with people that live there, and that's what the 10,000 is for. It gets me out of the state,
right?
And it's just the 10,000 will just, it'll just, like, blow the movie out of the water. It'll just be like, these are like like Matt Hardy and Johnny Mundo are like the big names I have, along with Sami Callihan and a few others. But if I get to like 10,000, then it's like, okay, I can get to them. I don't have to hopefully wait for them to come to a show here.
Right.
It's hey, let me schedule this out with you and I'll go to you and we'll do this thing. But yeah, I mean, 4,000, if we hit it, I'm the happiest boy in the world.
And they've got, you know, there's options on here. It looks like the featured one, $25 gets you the digital copy of the movie when it's finished. Right. You can do as little as $5. You can go as high as, let's see, $3,000.
$3,000. That's the fun one. I call it the El Patron.
I see that.
Are you selling me a sign table poster at Nightclub or what, man?
it's just like, it's kind of like, hey, like you really like this movie and you really want to invest in it. And you get a 11 by 17 poster that's signed by a lot of people that are in the movie. And you know, my gratitude, the movie tickets, all this stuff. Yeah, there's
all sorts of levels. I mean, you can go to Indiegogo.com, search Wrestling with Independence. You'll see the breakdown. You'll see the different ways you can help out. You'll see the story. There's a clip. There's a couple clips on here of what you've shot so far. I tell you what, I'm excited. I am absolutely beyond excited.
Oh, thank you
about this, because I think it sheds a light, like we said, it sheds a light on the people.
Yeah.
Not just wrestlers, but the people.
Yeah.
And, you know, their story can be sometimes more compelling than what happens inside the ring.
I think Biz's story, like co-owner of Inspire Pro, like his is pretty deep.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I can only imagine. I mean, I know tiny bits of it, and I can only imagine going into detail.
Yeah. It's a thing.
Yeah. Ray Zombie, man, it's good to see you. We hung out at Royal Rumble a little bit and had a great time there. Man, good luck with this. I really want this to happen. And like I said, whatever Justin and I can do, we're a phone call away, man.
Yeah, man. It's literally, at this point, it's just sharing it just as much as I can, letting people know that it's a real thing and letting people know it's legit. It's not going to be a bad movie. Everything we have right now is not bad.
Yeah,
so.
Well, not only do I want to see their stories, but I'm hoping that, you know, that your dream gets to come true, too, because I know you have a lot invested in this one.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Ray Zombie, Indiegogo.com, Wrestling with Independence should be a fantastic movie. Ray Zombie, how do they find you on social media?
Twitter is at the Ray Zombie. Pretty much everything in the world that I have is RayZombie.com.
Okay. There you go.
I shoot weddings.
There you go. He shoots weddings. He shoots corporate events. Yeah. So
that's
hook him up.
Hey, man, got to make a living.
Yeah, that's right.
So, yeah.
This thing isn't going to fund itself, or is it?
You know, hopefully somebody will love it.
I think they will, man. It sounds like you put a lot of work into this, and obviously some of the guys that you've interviewed we know, and we know how passionate they are. So I'm just waiting to hear those stories from not like those other deep stories that maybe they don't have enough time to share with us.
Yeah.
I am too. Yeah. I am too. The Smash Simmons on Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch, and everything else, plus SmashSimmons.com now.
Hey, man, got to have branding.
That's right.
Sounds so good.
And, of course, find me on Twitter and Instagram at Stu Myrick. You can follow the show on Twitter at SGTWATX. Find us on Facebook and Instagram at Sports Guys Talking Wrestling. You subscribe to us on iTunes. If you do subscribe to us, make sure you rate, review us. Let us know you like the show. Let us know if you'd like to hear something on a future episode of the show. And we are the official pro wrestling podcast for the flagship station for the Texas Longhorns, your radio home in Austin for the Round Rock Express and the Texas Rangers. We are 104.9 The Horn, AM 1260. Go to hornfm.com. Click on the podcast tab. You will find Sports Guys Talking Wrestling. For Ray Zombie, for Justin Simmons, I'm Stu Myrick. Thank you so much for giving us a little bit of your time tonight. We will see you at the matches.